SBC Media.
Welcome to the iGaming Daily Podcast, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market.
Hello everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of SBC iGaming Daily Podcast, the marketing edition. iGaming Daily is presented by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. 56% of the EGR Power 50 personalized player experience with Optimove. And we have yet another special offer for you. Optimove is offering new clients a free first month when you buy Optimove. For further information and claim the free month, please go to optimove.com/SBC. Today, we have a little bit of a twist on our podcast because we're bringing you a sport expert as well. So it's not just SEOs, it's sports today as well. We are going to be talking about Euros 2024 and how to get ready. And I am joined with two fantastic experts, Sean for the SEO part and Simon for the sports part. Please introduce yourself. Sean?
Sure. Thanks for the introduction, Ivana. I'm Sean. I'm a co-founder at GameChanger. We're a SEO agency. We help on focusing everyone from startups to scale-ups to enterprises, all the way up to people looking to dominate the SERPs and increase their search visibility on Google. So in general, I'm not a huge sports buff, but through SEO, I get to dabble quite a lot on all of the different entities and attributes, which I find quite interesting on the SERPs. So that's why we're here and that's why we're talking, right?
Exactly. And Simon, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Simon Flynn. Yes, I am related to Ivana, our husband. And I am the site manager for betting.com, which is a product owned by Game Lounge, an affiliate company. And we are actively preparing for the Euro 2024, as well as the Copa America, which happens at the same time. And we'll discuss that a little bit more. So I'm the site manager, so I take care of the deals, make sure they're presented on the site in as clear a way as possible, and try to tie it into the content so that we can say, yeah, this game is coming up and this is the best place to bet on it.
Fantastic.
So yeah, it's like a commercial stroke content role.
Is, but from my very personal experience with Simon, I can tell you he knows everything about football, and I'm updating on football odds and predictions every day in my life. So now you get the joy of listening to that too. My first question, very opening one, what is the way to prepare for any huge tournament such as Euros 2024? Sean, what from SEO, what are the few main tips you would give as an opener, and then we delve into them a little bit more, but what is the main thing as an SEO you would recommend people to think of when preparing for Euros 2024 that are happening from June 14th to July 14th? So we have 1 month of betting. A lot can happen. A lot of money can be won if you get it right.
Perfect. So the first thing that I like to think about when addressing sports leagues are the attributes which come with the different sports leagues and so forth. So when we're talking about something like the UEFA, we're talking about first qualifiers. Then you have different UEFA members, the qualifying process, the draw. And just to be clear, again, I'm not a huge sports buff, but I learned these things because we like ranking on them on Google, right? And generating traffic. And then they're divided into groups. And you have several groups which start playing against each other and qualifying for then the actual league itself. So there's a lot of opportunities to write content leading up to the actual league itself. But before you even get there, and when we're leading up to that, you obviously have to create a lot of content. So SEO is not fast. It's not PPC. It's not media buying. Therefore, Google needs to index your website. And unless you're a news website, which is getting indexed every 2 minutes, right, you're going to have to make sure that Google has enough time to find the pages and the content on your website prior to when the actual event begins. And when the event does begin, that you are positioned correctly to compete against everyone else who's writing content and trying to prepare for the same sporting event. And the way that you prepare for this is by not only looking at this particular UEFA competition, which is occurring currently, but also every sport has its different attributes, which you need to factor in. So you can't just create a cookie cutter for one and then apply it to others. You know, you have football, you have basketball, you have all of these different areas where you have leagues, bouts, races, different locations that these events occur at, different stadiums, different sponsors, different teams, individuals, athletes, heat. So there's really a vast amount of content that you can write to cover the area accurately and generate clicks, which ultimately are going to provide value to the readers, but also provide value to your business. So it's all about getting indexed with, let's say, according to the new Google update, helpful content, right? And also looking at all of these areas, there's a very large opportunity to start factoring in the programmatic approach to SEO also. Now, given the recent Google updates, this might sound quite scary to people, so we'll see how that plays out. But I believe that as long as you're providing a really helpful user experience as time goes on, you'll be prepared the right way to rank above your competition. So that's how I would think about the process right now, from where we've come from to where we're going and what you need to do to prepare to start capturing those positions on the SERPs ahead of time.
Okay, so number one, give it time. I mean, this is no-brainer for SEOs, but I believe that other people, not just SEOs, would be listening to this podcast, maybe C-level, maybe decision makers. If SEOs tell you that you need a landing page now, allow them to have a landing page to make sure that they are able to bring your rankings and the traffic to the website. SEO takes time, as you said. Have a quality content. So if you have a website where content can be created, be creative with content. We will get back with AI content creation a little bit later in this podcast. And now, Simon, what kind of interesting content, on top of what Sean already mentioned, would you say as a sports betting expert on football, that would set you apart from your competitors? What is the edge that you can take? What are the things that maybe affiliates are failing to cover right now?
Yeah, as Sean mentioned, you got to cover the basics first. You got to let Google know that this is a tournament coming up in Euro 2024, and Google expects to find the basics, so the groups, the main teams, and so on. But in order to set yourself apart from everyone else, you need to, I think affiliates, I'm an affiliate, I think what many affiliates do is they focus on the sport aspect, but they don't focus on the betting aspect. And to get real conversions, you want to get people who actually bet. So the most obvious thing is to do tips. So will Germany win the Euro 2024? Will Scotland win the Euro 2024? You can talk about the for each individual game. That's the most obvious thing that everyone does. But even that's quite a crowded space now. You got websites like Goal.com, SportsKeeda.com, which are not traditional iGaming companies, but they're big enough a site to dominate the SERPs, and they're putting some tip and conversion content. But what is very, very rare to see are accumulators. So multiple games. So you can make a recommendation for a weekend in Germany, Switzerland, and Hungary will all three of them will win. You'll get a better return. Sports bettors search out accumulator content, and operators love people who bet on accumulators because they are, well, we won't go into that, but it's very good value for operators in general. And people who serve who do accumulators are very good value for them. So I think if affiliate companies and media companies and even operators to an extent were to focus on things like live betting or accumulators, then they will get a lot more convertible traffic.
True.
And also, there's a lot less competition from the SEO side for accumulator betting with high intent. And like I said, it converts very, very well. And operators love it too. Yeah.
That's interesting because, like, usually when you look at any affiliate website for betting, mm-hmm. I don't think it's written or researched by utter experts because you usually get, like, betting guide for beginners. What is a bet? So I think once you cover all those absolute basics that everyone does, you can be aiming for more advanced bettors, more advanced punters with your tips.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are some rules of thumbs that you can do to produce betting tips that look expert, but they're not. Like, for example, only backing teams that are, and sorry for sounding like a nerd here, but if you back teams with a win, with odds for the win of between 1.2 and 1.6, you got a high chance of winning. So it makes you look like a genius when they do win. But anyone can do that. Anyone can look at the odds and say, okay, so Germany have 1.4 odds of winning against Switzerland, for example. Well, I'm going to say put Germany down for that. So even if your writers are not sports experts, you can still make them look like experts, especially if you could package a bunch of 1.5 odds wins. And again, sorry for sounding nerdy, if you could package that into like an accumulator with three or four bets, then you start to look like a genius.
Okay, so in this case, I would recommend, I mean, I'm an SEO, I would never come up with any of this. The winning strategy would be to work with your other departments, in this case, a betting expert in product like Simon. Now, content is a key to start to rank, obviously. And I actually, prior to this, I Googled Euros 2024 when, just to make sure I give you right information. And I started to have all these people also ask, and they were, when and where are the matches? What are the fixtures? Well, how much does it cost to go to Euro 2024? And none of the affiliate websites are ranking. The only things that are ranking are UEFA, Wikipedia, and lots of those huge websites that have nothing to do with betting yet. So I think there is a huge opportunity to make your research into how people are searching, what they want to read about, and start to cover that. As well, you will not see massive search volumes in your tools for Euros 2024, betting 2024 for Euros. None of that. Don't get discouraged, because as an experienced SEO, you know to look backwards and you know to use a common sense and know that the data will be there afterwards, 2-3 months. So just use a common sense. But still, how would you go about preparing a keyword research for this, Sean?
So it's quite interesting hearing you speak also, because I always go back to product. I always go back to what the end goal is. And I always go back to understanding the particular league, team, sport, whatever it might be, to develop the best kind of flow that creates SOPs that can be followed to cover all different areas. So if you are to try and target all of what you just spoke about through blog posts, it's going to be quite tough just to get that across the line and have the correct people with the correct expertise following the correct processes, correct, let's say, implementations of collecting data, predicting, and coming up with things which are actually verifiably winning people money over time, right? So I always look back to the product. And when I look into sports betting overall, we have two main topics over here, right? Because we are talking about converting through iGaming. We're talking about operators and we're talking about affiliates. So these are the two areas that contribute to the conversion funnel mainly, besides all of the programmatic advertising and so forth. So the operators have issues, right? As they're only able to target the sporting type, the league or tournament, the event itself, which typically isn't really built from a URL perspective quite that well. It's a parameter URL with loads of numbers. There isn't really an opportunity to put content on it. And it typically comes up 3 days before the event, gets removed, and then you lose that opportunity to archive it. And when those people play again in the future, have more information added to that page, right? So I always look back to building up a solid strategy in either the way that you're going to post content targeting all of these different attributes. I mean, Google understands these leagues, tournaments, games, sports, whatnot. So if you type in UEFA on Google, you're going to find a nice little feature that Google triggers, which has the different teams, the news related to it, and so forth. And you need to think about all of the different attributes which you're going to contribute to the, let's say, product that you build which triggers these attributes in the right way. As an example, if you're talking about a team, who are the captains of the team, who are the individual athletes on this on the team, what is the past performance of the team, what are the odds of them winning? When it comes to speaking about accumulators, like you mentioned, and different features on the betting aspect, what unique events could occur which could trigger people to search, not in a structured way, like you mentioned, it's not going to show search volume, but will trigger those in those quick searches because they need an answer towards a question, such as things going wrong with the platform or things going wrong with the particular match, such as postponement. What happens if you accumulate to your accumulator if something gets postponed? So I always go back to think about a solid product. Think about a solid way to offer information that covers all of the attributes which contributes towards your conversion funnel. And don't neglect the news aspect of sports also. Things are constantly happening. And this is maybe more where in the past, at least, and even currently to today, even on tipping, because you have tips which occur even during the game itself, where automation is implemented. And I'm sure that Ivana has quite a lot of comments on that. And maybe we'll cover it after this. But it gives a lot of opportunities to target newsworthy content as events occur. Of course, getting on the top stories or Google Discover requires a completely different kind of optimization. News article schema, OG title for Discover, schema title for the actual Google News, and then SEO title for what you're trying to cover on Google SERP. So it's optimizing for three different platforms. But if you manage to find that intersect between all of these different areas where people are looking for information which is relevant and you offer value at the right time, that's where the money is.
Yeah, exactly. Simon, anything to this?
Yeah, I agree with what Sean was saying at the end about Google Discover and different platforms. I would also throw in video content as well. So YouTube and possibly TikTok. A lot of people now actively consume and search for content on video platforms. I personally do YouTube. And for example, a company like Oddspedia, they have a lot of success in recent years, with putting betting tips on their YouTube channel. It's quite cheap to produce. It's a bunch of guys like us sitting in a podcast producing tips, and they get a huge amount of engagement. There's not a massive amount of competition on YouTube for betting tips. There is, but if you can do it in a well packaged product, it really stands out well. And it's often hard to compete against news companies which have parasite SEO sections for things like the Premier League or football, or I imagine the Euro 2024 will come up as well. It's quite expensive to compete against them, and I think social media, video platforms is a cheap way of getting of leveraging that type of content.
Okay, so here we have a whole new approach to actually trying to get eyes to your website, including video, trying to go for Google Discover and Google News. I don't think those are things that iGaming companies, either affiliate or operators, traditionally think of as a way of engaging and getting customers. So I think this is a very valid tip. And Sean already pre-shadowed my next question. In a light of the March update, how much AI can we still use? I mean, I don't think AI content is necessarily bad. It is definitely not an enemy. But where is the right balance, what to use and when to use it and when not to use it?
Okay, so maybe I can start on this one. I think the ultimate question is, are you using AI for the sake of using AI and to be lazy and to scale immensely, or are you trying to offer value? So let's go back to creating some kind of page, let's just say, between on this particular tournament where you have two teams playing against each other. these two teams which are playing against each other could have played against each other in the past. There could have been certain lineups, and this could be archived onto a page. When a new tournament comes up and these guys are going to play against each other again, these two teams, and forgive me, I'm not going to mention teams because I'm not really a football buff, why not add new information? Who's the lineup? What is the past performance? What are the odds on this game? Where is it going to be now? And also then having commentary based on what happens within the game itself, potentially produced with AI. And then there's the question, you know, and I had this conversation with somebody just yesterday about how much AI is too much AI. And I don't think it comes down to how much AI is too much AI, as well as it is how much AI do you need to implement to forget what you're trying to serve, which are actual people. And if you're serving actual people content which is not making sense and you don't have any kind of quality assurance process, at the very least, while you're automatically generating tips, 7 out of every 100, let's be honest, before you understand that maybe something isn't working very well, then ultimately you are going to provide a bad experience to your users. And Google ultimately only makes money when people decide to use its search engine versus other people's search engines. So TikTok is a search engine, Bing is a search engine, now we have Perplexity AI, which is a search engine, we have ChatGPT, which is, let's say, a search engine. So people are starting to diversify their attention for where they ask their questions. And part of that is also because a large part of the Google search results haven't been great the past couple of years. So there's been a lot of abuse, and I don't really get the answer to my questions very often when I search for things that are quite niche. And I have to read a lot of content. I have to read a lot of content to get to the crux of it. So I don't think that Google's necessarily taking a negative stance. They're taking the stance that we want to have a healthy business and we want to continue having a healthy user base. So don't abuse that. Offer value. Have a process where you can check what's being done and ensure that it is offering value to users. And also bear in mind that AI content is being generated through patents. And do you honestly believe that the largest company when it comes to artificial intelligence in the world, which has huge amounts of data spanning over 20 years, cannot determine when you're just using a standard prompt on ChatGPT? It can, and it will. And unfortunately, this update didn't only hurt websites that are utilizing AI, but it hurt legitimate websites also, real businesses. I mean, the principle is still there in the case of, okay, maybe the content wasn't great, maybe the user signals weren't great, maybe there were some issues over there which could have been handled prior or could be handled moving forward. I mean, John Muir's site got removed from the index, didn't it?
It's wonderful, yes.
So no one's safe from this update. Everyone should look at themselves, and everything that we're discussing now would probably need to discuss again in another month. But AI is not the enemy as long as you utilize it correctly.
Exactly. And Simon, where would you use AI? Is it research or is it production? Where do you think in your approach you would use AI to actually give a value?
I think AI could be very useful in the case of Euro 2024, assuming, and you need to check this beforehand, that the AI tool you're using is up to date with current news, like who's in the tournament, for example. You know, I mean, there's plenty of times I go to ChatGPT and ask them who will be the next Liverpool manager. I've done this several times over the past month, and it tells me, well, Liverpool are not looking for a manager. You know, their manager is very happy where he is. He's not been for months, and he's been saying he's going to leave. So you need to make sure your AI tool is up to date, because when we're talking about sport, you're talking about an ongoing news story. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I think AI content can be used as a very good templating engine for the teams and the groups, and it can produce a reasonable content at scale. But you need an expert or someone who understands the current news events, in this case, sport, to examine the content and make sure it makes sense. And if possible, in fact, not possible, you must add some human element to it. Add an opinion. You know, if it's saying that Germany are odds on favorite to win Euro 2024, there's plenty you can say about that. You know, you can say, but they've been terrible in the previous three tournaments. AI will not give you an opinion on that. But if you can add an opinion to that, then you've humanized it, you've made it readable, and you've set it apart from Google detection tools, AI detection tools, and you're making useful content. So AI could be very, very good for producing content and skill, but it needs to be curated by a human, expert, a super editor, as I like to call them.
Oh, okay.
Something, apologies, Ivana, that's really interesting that Simon mentioned is related to the quality of the data that you feed it. So if you were to just prompt AI based on the data it scrapes, you're assuming that what other people have written is correct. And as Simon mentioned, when you're dealing with sports buffs who are actually interested and want to know everything about everything to make the correct decisions on their bets, then you do not want to provide them any kind of inconsistency. You want to be as accurate as possible. Now, if you have good feeds of data, which you can feed AI, that will then generate content which is not based on guessing the next best word, but actual data which is verifiable by your company and up to date, then that will increase the outputs and the quality of that output significantly also.
Exactly. Wow. So this podcast is definitely packed with information, from new sources of traffic to what content to tackle and how to tackle it, where to use AI tools and when to step in as a human. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for finding the time, for joining me and sharing all your insights. I hope someone will find this helpful and will outrank you in 2024 Euros. I don't have a game, so thank you very much and speak later.
Thank you for listening to today's iGaming Daily Podcast, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders magazine. Happy reading.